Call with Dr. Barry Dworkin on Ottawa's News Talk Radio 5CFRA. You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.
Food science is a major topic for discussion on Sunday House Call. To me, there was one seminal interview that beautifully encapsulated the exciting science and discovery of the biochemistry of foods and the role they play in fighting cancer. The interview in June 2006 featured Dr. Richard Béliveau, author of Foods That Fight Cancer, Preventing Cancer Through Diet. To date, 200,000 copies of the book have sold in Canada, an incredible number given that 5,000 is considered to be a bestseller. As we discussed in our last interview of June 25, 2006, phytochemicals in the foods we eat can play a significant role in cancer prevention and overall health, literally a non-toxic version of chemotherapy. Our current Western diets seem to have weakened our body's ability to fend off certain types of cancer, among other diseases. In short, our society's food choices have become divorced from reality and from our biology and physiology. It seems the next logical step was to expand on the science and, at the same time, produce a book on how to incorporate these foods into our diet. With that in mind, sprung his next book, Cooking with Foods That Fight Cancer. And I'm very pleased to introduce Dr. Richard Béliveau, author of Foods That Fight Cancer, Preventing Cancer Through Diet, and Cooking with Foods That Fight Cancer. He is biochemistry professor and chair in the prevention and treatment of cancer at the University of Quebec at Montreal and director of the Molecular Medicine Laboratory at Saint-Justine Hospital. He is also professor of surgery at the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Montreal. And that with that long introduction, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I wanted to start off with a bit of a recap of what we talked about a year and a half ago, but with the knowledge of what has been gained in this year and a half since we spoke. And my first question is, from your epidemiological studies of cancer rates, how would you best describe them to our listeners? That is, what are the most common cancers and the impact, estimates on the impact on cancer incidence as related to our diets?
Well, since we published our first book, there was a major report published last week by the World Cancer Research Fund, which is the largest organization dedicated to the prevention and treatment of cancer. It includes all the major national cancer-fighting agencies. And the report, 10-year, they do that every 10 years. The last report was in 1997. The conclusion of the World Cancer Research Fund, they compiled 500,000 clinical and scientific studies. It was compiled by about 250 clinical and scientific oncologists. The conclusion of the report are absolutely flabbergasting. The first conclusion is that obesity will replace smoking as the leading cause of cancer worldwide. The recommendations are exactly the recommendation we put in our two books. They are to decrease red meat. Red meat should be taken one per week total. Mm-hmm. I mean, reduce caloric intake from sugar and so on, a lot of things, and increase 7 to 10 portions of fruits and vegetables a day. So major, major conclusion from the biggest world, the biggest cancer-fighting agencies in the world really conclude that the major impact of food and diet on the role in generating cancer. It's estimated that about one-third of all cancer are related to bad eating habits. One-third of all cancer is smoking. For lung cancer, it's 75% of lung cancer, 85% of lung cancer that are dependent on smoking, on tobacco use. For cancer, globally, it's 30%. And as important as smoking is the bad eating habits that we have in our industrialized country. So it's a huge, you know, the rates of cancer worldwide vary up to 70-fold between some areas of the world. 50, 70-fold for prostate cancer in some regions of China compared to North America. And when the people migrate outside their country with these very low rates of cancer, that when they migrate to the U.S. or Canada, their rates of these cancer reaches that of Canadian or U.S. population, indicating that cancer is not as hereditary as we thought it was, but it's really related to lifestyle. The conclusion of the World Cancer Research Fund is that cancer is a lifestyle disease, just like hypertension, diabetes, and heart diseases. So it's estimated that about 3/4 of all cancer could be prevented by changing our lifestyle, and that only like less than 15% of all cancer are hereditary. So it's a myth, a misconception that we have about about cancer, that it is all hereditary. It's a small proportion. You know, for breast cancer, we always talk about BRCA1, BRCA2. It's less than 0.3% of women with breast cancer that have mutation in these two oncogenes. So the rest, 99% of the women with breast cancer, do not have the mutation that I've always quoted about as cancer being hereditary. So it's for identical twins with the same genes, absolutely identical twins, if one of the two kids develop a leukemia, it's only 5% of the other twins that develop the leukemia, not 100%. If that would be hereditary, it would be 100%. It's only 5%. And the rates of adopted children, the rates of cancer in adopted children, this is very striking, is the same rates of cancer as that of their adoptive parent, not of their biological parent. That of their adoptive parent, because the kids adopt the lifestyle of their parents. So lots of data support the link between lifestyle and cancer.
And yet, unfortunately, with all this evidence, we seem to be going in the wrong direction.
Oh, we are heading completely the other way around. I mean, the rates of it has doubled in 10 years in the U.S., same thing in Canada. Rates of overweight in Mexico, I'll give you an example, because Mexico is a good example. It's very striking. A developing country. The rates of obesity in Mexico in 1989 was 10%. In 2005, 70%. It's multiplied by 7 in 15 years. And you can apply, Mexico is one of the worst examples, but I mean, generally worldwide obesity has like double on the average on the population. So the rates of overweight in Canada is about 63-65%. It means that 2 people out of 3 are overweight. And the first conclusion of the World Cancer Research Fund in this big report, 500 page of report, it's a big compilation of, you know, 500,000 studies. Really, the conclusions are staggering. It's the first time that the public health agency put the following in the recommendation: be as lean as possible. That's a strong recommendation. To fight cancer, the first recommendation of the biggest report ever done on cancer prevention is be as lean as possible. We are heading the other way around. So that's, you know, we have to get that in our head and start changing, because, you know, all the scientific and medical evidence supports the opposite of what we are doing on a daily basis.
Well, it's interesting because this is so striking, and yet we have a tendency to focus on, at least the media does and various special interest groups do, focus on other potential carcinogens, pollutants, pesticides.
That's a myth.
Any menace to genetic predisposition. And you're mentioning these, associated with obesity. So I actually want to get to the science of this, and you outline this really well in your book. When someone is obese, what is going on that can contribute to the onset of cancer? What is the biochemistry that leads to this?
It's very complicated. Basically, we store our fats in cells called adipocytes. And adipocytes, fat cells, are really factory makers of growth factor for cancer cell. They induce a very strong pro-inflammatory condition in our tissues, and we estimate that 40%, more than one-third of all cancer, are related to pro-inflammatory condition. Inflammatory bowel disease, for example, is a strong predisposition to colorectal cancer. Prostatitis is a strong predisposition for prostate cancer, and so on. So we create, by obesity, a lot of disequilibrium in our human biochemistry and body physiology, and this creates a favorable environment for all. We all create tumor in a human being. It's estimated by that a standard adult creates about 1 million precancer cell a day just by the cell dividing in his body. With a very, very low rates of mutation, we produce billions of new cell every day, and it's estimated that about 1 million of precancer cell are formed every day. It's our lifestyle, our inside biochemistry that we create by our bad eating habits, smoking habits, lack of exercise habits, that create a favorable environment for the tumors to grow. And obesity is one of the worst conditions to create. 60% of endometrial cancer in women are related to obesity. One-third of the second most important killer in Canada, after lung is first, second killer in Canada is colorectal. One-third of all colorectal cancer is associated with obesity. And obesity triples and doubles the rate of esophagus, kidney, and bladder cancer. So obesity is not only for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. It's a strong, strong predisposition for cancer development. So we'll never say it again, you know. It's not, cancer is not caused by pollution. It's less than 2% of all cancer that are pollution related. We like to think that, but that's a myth. That's a legend. The scientific evidence do not support that, not at this point. The second myth we think is stress causes cancer. Stress do not cause cancer. Lots of studies have shown that. Rates of cancer in the Jews in Second World War in concentration camp were exactly the same as that were not imprisoned in the concentration camp, the survival. The rates of cancer in parents that have had kids that died of cancer or that died very young have the same rates of cancer. Losing a child is a very high level of stress. The rates of cancer in their parents that have kids that died in young age is exactly the same as that of parents that do not have kids that died. Lots of studies have showed that stress is not a cause of cancer, but we like to think that pollution and stress causes cancer. We smoke, we are overweight, we eat junk food, we don't exercise, and we think that we're okay by taking vitamin supplements. That's a wrong attitude. So we should rethink our attitude towards health.
We're in conversation with Dr. Richard Béliveau, author of Foods That Fight Cancer, Preventing Cancer Through Diet, and Cooking with Foods That Fight Cancer. And when we come back, I want to focus on the inflammation aspect of our diets and the omega fatty acid, the omega fatty acids that are involved in that, and also how the other phytochemicals in fruits and vegetables interact and the interplay between all of these that contribute to a person's better health, longevity, and reduced cancer risk. When we can get back, we'll be speaking with Dr. Richard Béliveau. Having a great time doing this. You're listening to Sunday House Call. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin.
You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on